In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Happy Reformation, even if it's transferred a couple of days. There are endless debates about Reformation and what happened and when and exactly why. When was Luther's Tower experience? Was it early in 1515 or earlier than that? Or was it late in 1518 or even later still? What was the influence of Augustine? What was the point in which Luther praised Augustine but turned against Augustine and became truly Lutheran? Or if the event happened quite early, was it even turning from Augustine at all? And isn't Luther the ecumenical Luther over against the Roman Catholics? When did Luther turn exactly from scholasticism? When did he understand righteousness as a passive righteousness? And more than that, when did he understand passive righteousness as a declarative, imputed righteousness and not an inchoate righteousness within the believer? What arose from questions arise about his use of tenses in his description of the Tower event when he wrote as an old man in 1545 in the preface of his Latin edition of his works. The pluperfects there, they argue, point back to an early Tower experience, but Luther says there that it happened in 1518. Was the old Luther losing it? Was he inaccurate in describing his own experience? Was he not trying to be historical? Was he trying to be historical? There are all kinds of issues around, and it seems like the more you read these issues and the more you study the Luther scholars, the more you see this little sentence. This topic, no matter what it is far more complex than it would seem. But finally, though Luther is very complex and offers many complex questions, his message is very, very simple. And he preached it in the last year of his life, a sermon in May of 1545. He was referring to the epistle for today. For we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those under the law, that panstoma, the word all appears repeatedly in this great text, that every mouth be stopped and held accountable to God. Wherefore, out of works of the law, no flesh, is the Hebraism here, pasa sarx, no all flesh, not no flesh, nobody, not the whole lot, not a single one, no one will be justified before him through the works of the law, but through the law comes the knowledge of sin. And Luther preached, he said, this is really a key thing, this knowledge of sin. It's like a snake. And it's like a snake lying still in the sunshine. And then all of a sudden it is disturbed and it jumps and it bites and starts to cause great havoc, sting and kill the individual who's disturbed it. And that's what the law does, he says. We go along in life, many go along in life, without the law having seriously disturbed them at all. And then finally, when the law is preached and felt in its sternness, that is a law that condemns each and every one of us, the law that condemns to hell, the law that renders us guilty, the law that separates us from Christ, the law that disturbs the snake, so within us we have a bad conscience. That is the duty of the law, to disturb the snake and cause it to bite us in the conscience. And the text, of course, is magnificent. But now, choris, apart from the law. Melanchthon says in the Apology, Article 4, pay attention to the particles, to the little words. For apart from the law, a righteousness of God is revealed, having been witnessed to by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through faith. That is the remedy for the bad conscience. That is the remedy for a lack of righteousness. It's through faith. Faith in Jesus Christ, for pantas, for all. All those who believe. For there is no difference. For all, again, pantes, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the apolitrosis, the buying back, the purchasing of Christ Jesus, who was set forth as a Hilasterion, a buying back. The Hilasterion, which was the Greek term for the cover of the Ark of the Covenant where the blood was sprinkled over the law. Jesus buys you back. Jesus is the sacrifice, the mercy seat, by his blood. And so Luther preached. I saw a canon in Naumburg one time, and he cried as he was about to depart from this world, "Oh Lord, I have had enough of everything, money, possessions, and what my dear heart desired." He came to realize his sin, his bad conscience. The snake had bit him. "Now, if I only had somebody else to go to hell for me." That's the sting, when sin awakens in the conscience and makes the man fearful so that he does not know what will become of him. We call it compunction, when a killer and a murderer comes to the knowledge of his sin, and sin kills him from that hour on unless he is helped through the true consolation. Coarse, insolent people know nothing about this sting. They go their way in security and do not feel what sin and death are until death has devoured and swallowed them completely, as happened to those two canons. But Christians must daily experience and feel in themselves what kind of power sin and death have. And I dare say, if you do not sense this, if you do not have a bad conscience condemned by the law at times, many times, you are not going to be a good preacher. You have no idea how to preach because you've never been tormented by the law like your hearers have been, and you have no idea how to comfort them. For this thing comes not only to gross sinners such as adulterers, prostitutes, killers, and murderers at the time of compunction, but it comes also to people who are righteous in the world's sight. They must gnaw away at themselves in their hearts with their sins, that they have not feared God, that they have not believed, not trusted him, they have not served him. And Luther says, how are we freed from all this, the dreadful snake? Who will remove from our hearts the law, the handwriting that is against us, or our evil conscience? No human being is able to do this. Indeed, no creature in heaven or on earth can take away the evil conscience or sin that the conscience feels. But this is what it does. He says, thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the victory through Jesus, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was made man, suffered death on the cross for us, descended into hell, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, destroyed sin, death, and hell in his body, fulfilled the law perfectly and entirely, and stopped its mouth so that it must stop accusing and condemning us. This is the victory, that death has lost its sting. The law can no longer awaken sin, nor can sin any longer make death strong, For Christ has atoned for our sin, has erased the handwriting, the law, setting it aside and nailing it to the cross. God gives us this victory through the word, through the preaching of the gospel, and through the service of the holy sacraments. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.